We're doing brachot. We're up to chaf bet amud alef, the two dots, about 18 lines from the bottom. Tanu rabbanan. We have the following: Braisa baal keri shenatnu alav tishaka bin maim tahor. A baal keri, ordinarily we know he has to go to mikvah. The braisa teaches that if he took 9 kav of water and poured it upon himself, so then he is tahor. He is pure. That's good enough. Now that's kav is 24 eggs, if I'm not mistaken. So that's about a Coke bottle and a half, 2 Coke bottles. So, yeah, the volume. Remind me tomorrow, Bezat Hashem, I'll print out a chart with the measurements. So, if you want to gauge the shower, so I say take a Coke bottle, put it under the tap, and see how long it takes for the Coke bottle to fill, and then multiply that. I'll give you the exact number of liters b'zachem tomorrow, okay? So, Nachum Ishgamzu lachshal Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva lachshal ben Azai, uven Azai yatzav shnal talmidim bashuk. Nachum Ishgamzu whispered it to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva whispered it to Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, and Shimon ben Azai went out and taught it to the students publicly. So it evolved. Initially it was a secret for the rabbis, and later on Ben Azai felt it was the right time to reveal the secret. Pligi batra amorai b'marava, there's a machlokas amoraim in the west of Babylon is Israel, there's a machlokas amoraim in Israel, Rabbi Yossi Baravin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. Chatani shna v'chatani lachsha. There were two different traditions, whether Ben Azai publicly taught it or Ben Azai publicly whispered it. Mandetani shna'a mishum bitul Torah. If he publicly taught it, then the idea was that they realized that generation, that if the people don't know this and they're not learning Torah because they're tamei keri, so then there's a lot of bitul Torah going on. So for the sake of preventing bitul Torah, he taught it publicly. Mishum bitul piriya v'rivya, and also because if it becomes so troublesome for a person to be tamei keri, so then people are going to avoid being with their wives unnecessarily, and then they're going to have less children. Umandetani lachsha. And if the idea was that he whispered it to him, so then that was because there was still this idea that they didn't want that the Talmide Chachamim would be found by their homes frequently like roosters. That they're not where they should be. On a spiritual level, they shouldn't be frequenting beyond a certain amount with their wives. It's interesting that why do they say like roosters? So it says in our parsha, Etzion Gaver, and the Targum Yerushalmi says Etzion Ternegola. So it says in the pasuk in Iov that there's Gever. Gever is Sechvi. Minatan le Sechvi vina. Sechvi is the Gever, is the rooster. We find in the Gemara in Yuma, Moshe established for the Jewish people mealtimes, so they shouldn't be pecking around like roosters. Here we find that our sages instituted a certain immersion, so that it wasn't so simple that a person could just be with his wife whenever he pleased, but he'd have to think, is it the right time, is it the right way? And then if he invests a little bit more thought, then people won't be found by their wives like roosters. So it seems that the Talmud uses the term rooster like on a simple level, like we would say bird brain, meaning where a person is being more physical than he should. He's doing things without giving it the proper thought. Obviously, there's something deeper going on here. Fine, one day we'll discover.
Shouldn't they concern me about the normal, the hediot, and not the Talmud Chachamim?
That deserves a longer discussion. Maybe for the hidyot it's not a bad thing. It's not a wise thing, but it's not a bad thing. If done correctly, then it's just a foolish thing. It's just a talmid chacham, I expect him to invest his time more wisely. But if he's a hidyot that's doing it, so then maybe for him that's ben adam lachavero. If he's doing it in a way that's proper, so he's making his wife happy, and the The only problem is that if he's going to do it too often, he's going to get bored of what he has and start looking for new excitement. So that's a more distant problem. By a Talmud Chacham, I have an issue with the fact that he's investing more time than he should in it, and then that's taking away from where he should be. Again, Chazal expected that when a person is with his wife, it's not a five-second thing, but rather he's going to invest the time, and he's going to express his love, and he's going to take the time to show her his love, and that's a part of it. So then when Chazal discuss a person being intimate with his wife, Chazal discuss it as something that takes quite a lot of time. So if it's going to take quite a lot of time because it's part of a time that a person takes out of his life to invest in showing his wife that he loves her, so if a person is going to do that with greater frequency, then he's not going to have time to learn. Now, Talmidei Chachamim in those days were working all day. The time they had to learn was nights. Chazal assumed if he's going to be with his wife, if he's going to be intimate with his wife, he's going to take out a chunk of time to be with her. It's not a 5-minute thing, it's not a half hour thing, it's a 2-3 hour thing. Okay, that means that night there's almost no learning. Now, if you're a Talmud Chacham and you're going to be with your wife more than twice a week or more than once a week, Onas Talmidei Chachamim, Chazal expected that Talmud Chacham is with his wife the night she comes back from mikveh, on special nights, meaning he's about to go out on a journey, so he should show her he loves her, that he's going to miss her, so they're supposed to be intimate that night. Obviously, if she's pure. If he just came back from a journey, he's supposed to show her he missed her and he loves her, and they're supposed to be intimate that night. And other than that, on Friday nights, okay, that's logical. If he's going to start being with her other nights during the week, fine, they're entitled. He has a biblical mitzvah to be with her any time that she shows him an indication that she desires it. Then he has a biblical mitzvah to stop his life and go and show her he loves her and spend the time with her, part of which is being intimate. Fine. So obviously, you know, whatever she needs, emotionally, physically, whatever she needs, he owes her. That we're not talking about. But for him to do it whenever he pleases, well, then that's it. There goes his learning. It's not they didn't have that much time to learn. They were working their days. So you're going to start nixing off nights. That's going to be a problem. You're not going to have Talmidei Chachamim. So Chazal saw a need to limit it, to at least make it a little bit more difficult than just the question, do I feel like it or do I think it's right or not? You should realize, anytime you're going to do it, no learning, no davening, until you go out to a mikveh and get into the mikveh. Now, that means that I have to give it a little bit more thought than I would ordinarily. Okay, that's what Chazal wanted. Chazal didn't say don't do it. But what happened? Chazal saw that it was backfiring. People weren't having the amount of kids they should have had. So then the question was, which had a greater weight? Was the greater weight in helping the people overcome their desire and realize, hey, I shouldn't be doing it as much as I'd like? Or was the greater weight with, let's have more kids in the world? So that's a machlokas here. How overt were they in giving this leniency that it's enough to pour 9 kav on yourself? Now, to pour 9 kav on yourself isn't an easy thing either in those days. You had to go and draw the water. They didn't have 9 kav like we do turning on a faucet. But it was still easier than finding a kosher mikveh to dunk it. You could still go to the local well. You didn't have to go find a mikveh. So, okay, that's the question.
Question.